What? Uh-huh. Yeah. Tick-a-doom, tick-a-doom. Here we go. You ready, guys? You ready for this? It doesn't matter. We didn't do an intro yet. God damn it. Sing the chorus.
Yeah.
I should have cued it.
Woo. Yeah.
Don't treat me bad. That's Firehouse. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 93 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX, along with today's guest, Mr. Ivor.
Hey.
Baby, don't treat me bad. Go ahead.
So, I was just going to throw it out there like this.
Do that.
Right?
Throwing it
both
out.
Both sides out there. Oh, VexX, don't treat me bad. Oh, Johnny. Don't treat me bad.
So in your mind, was that clever? Is that what you thought, like, this would work as a joke? No. I'm just curious. If that's what you thought comedy sounded
like. Yes, I was hilariously in my head. It was blown up and I was laughing inside.
So I've gotten to the point in my life where I'll be with a woman and I'll have like a dialogue with her.
Killed
and
it for me.
When it goes horribly wrong, I say to her, in my head, it went completely
really
differently.
Oh, God. I was cheers and applause and... It was so ingenious.
Talk about tears and bears.
Yeah, now I'm crying.
All right, so this is episode 93. VexX, along with Ivor from the Superstar Galactica Rock and Roll Extravaganza. We are going to... All right, let's tell the whole fucking story. A week ago, which again, none of this matters because the podcasts come out weekly. So you're like, when in space and time are we talking about? The week before Mother's Day, which was technically the beginning of May of 2021, myself... and Philadelphia went to Delaware to record episode 90 of the Vex on Vex podcast. I went to Robot Phillips' house. We call him Robot, not Robot. Robot, because he's fucking, his name is Rob. We called him Puppy when we were kids, but his name's Robot. So we go to Robot's house. All right, see this fucking, these cases behind me with the wrestling belts? Mm-hmm. He has 19 of these cases
oh
in his
God.
Fully finished basement filled with the most expensive Transformers you could fathom. He has literally, and I'm not making this up, a 3-foot version of Devastator, a 3-foot version of Omega Supreme, like huge, and they're real, and they transform, and they operate the whole, like he has a phenomenal collection, like phenomenal, and he's been doing it for a million years. So, at any rate, we go there, record episode 90, and it was great, we had fun, and it was a little weird, I think, because Robot was the original co-host of the Vex on Vex podcast 90 episodes ago at the time. Now we're 93 episodes ago. And Philadelphia has kind of become the de facto guy now, right? So we're talking, we're doing our thing, and we get done. We all go to lunch. And it was fucking with so much fun. Like, we had so much fun at lunch. Like, it was great. And I was like, you guys want to go see Johnny Zero since we're in Delaware? And they were like, yeah. So we get in the, I had my truck. Robot had his own little sports car. He has a sports car, race car. And we drive over. We park, we knock, Johnny's happy to see us, we're happy to see him, and we had fucking fun, and we recorded an entire episode. So now 91 is with Johnny and Robot Phillips and Philadelphia and myself, and it was just fucking fun, right? And John doesn't want us to leave, and now we're already 2 episodes in for the day, so we're a little tired and shit, and he's like, dude, let's do a Dark Side of the Ring podcast. And I'm like, you mean about the TV Dad's Wrestling podcast? And he's like, yeah! And I'm like, listen, I love you, but it's going to get dark, right? And he's like, yeah, no problem. He's not comprehending the words I'm saying. He's just happy we're there. We're hanging out. Some drinks were being drunk. It was a good day. We went to the store together. Robot drove us in the race car. I was screaming like a child in the backseat because I have control issues. I'm like, oh my God, man. I made a Facebook live.
I sold like some of them things.
It was fun. It was a great day. And then we sit down and it's me and Johnny Zero eye to eye like you and I are right now, right, Ivor? And we're doing Dark Side of the Ring, TV Dad's Wrestling Podcast, What Went Wrong? And Robot's like, this is going to be great. And Philadelphia's like, this is awesome. And then it went dark. Like, it's so bad, I deleted the episode. And we didn't finish it because he threw me out of his house.
kind of like my intro.
Well, yeah, I guess. So... I guess you wanted to discuss the TV Dads Wrestling Federation in this podcast, and I'm open to the discussion. What were your thoughts in reference to that, sir?
Well, first, I think that we you should probably have commercials in Vex on Vex podcast.
But you got to explain, they're parody commercials. They're not real.
I know they're not real. And it's really funny and ingenious. And some of them I heard, I was just cracking. I had the TV dads playing. I'm working. I'm painting. I'm doing things, and it just comes out of left field, you know.
And now we'll have a commercial break, and you're like, chickens and waffles, huh? Chicken, yeah, that kind of
stuff
shit,
stuff like that. Good and stuff. One's like kind of made up or something, and it was about I don't know, it was something you cleansed your genitals with, and I was dying laughing. I'm like, wow, this is way out in left field, and I really dig it. So I think maybe some thought put into it, but maybe a commercial similar to that twice of Vex on Vex podcast.
Now, I 100% disagree, because the whole thing that we do on the Vex on Vex together is that stream of consciousness thing. The cool part about the TV Dads is it's actually a show. And it's mildly scripted, and we do like a lot of it off the hip, but it's like written down of places we're going to land together, unlike, not unlike a wrestling show, you know? And we use the commercial breaks as breaks. And Johnny can go smoke a cigarette. I can stretch my legs. You know what I mean? Like, we'll do like 20 minutes of like hardcore, like inventing things out of thin air. And then you do a commercial, and then you pause it, and then it's like a thing. Why are you smiling? What did I miss?
No, I know what that's about. Okay. I think it's totally ingenious. I can't believe half the things you guys came up with. But, yeah, I just thought it would probably bring like a little more of a cheekier side to the Vex on Vex podcast.
Well, then,
if you're trying to move away from that.
It's not move away. It's just different. And now I've established myself. This is episode 93 today. Like, we're a thing.
Yeah, so it would be weird.
We've surpassed the episodes for TV Dads. Hold on, let me look at my system. It's in my computer. If we can look it up together. There are 58 aired episodes of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Then there is the lost TV Dads episode, which would have been 59. Like that never came to fruition. And then there's a new TV Dads. We lasted 9 minutes into the episode and got in a fight and we fucking...
So that was the new one. That
well, no. So that was from a long time ago. So we stopped production about a year ago, give or take, right? And we had a falling out during episode number 59, the recording of it. So it never aired. It's called the Lost TV Dads episode in my system. And then we had the new TV Dads, which we tried to sit down. Okay, fuck it. We're going to do a reset button. He's like, call it season 2. And I'm like, that's not how podcasts work, but it might be funny. You know what I mean? So you do 60 episodes, then it's a season, then you do season 2. Like, that's kind of cool, I thought. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You don't cross streams. You don't cross the streams.
I'm not saying don't cross the streams. I'm just saying that the one program was supposed to be a fictional TV broadcast. Obviously, it's not a television, right? This is like an audio census. So Johnny Zero, who was very adept at this, said, hey, we should try to make it like a 1940s radio program where like happens in the beginning and like noises and sound effects. And he got kind of ingenious with it. We eventually graduate to a soundboard. Right? But we didn't have a soundboard in the beginning. We didn't understand how it worked. I didn't understand how it worked. So we were like making
very good
crowd noise. No, but see, the later episodes, we had a soundtrack playing crowd noise for the entire broadcast that we got online. Like, yeah. Like it was a thing. You know what I mean? And then we're like, ladies and gentlemen, capacity crowd here at the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Why are you laughing?
I wouldn't be able to do that so seriously with you.
For real?
I don't know how Johnny did that with you.
Oh, he would zone out. Like, look at my face. He'd be like, yeah. Oh, Vex. Yeah. And I think in his mind, he's visualizing it. I really think that's what he was doing. Like, he closed his eyes and he would relax his body. And like, he wouldn't even move. Like, if I looked over at him.
I couldn't look at you the way. Your face went and everything. You saw his face, ladies and gentlemen.
And then sometimes we would, it would get heat between the characters, and he would be like, stop it! And he'd get really offended. And I'm like, John, we're playing characters. He's like, I thought it was real. I thought you were really mad. I'm like, no, I'm not. But then sometimes I was mad, so it's the same fucking dichotomy. That kind of made me crazy. I love Johnny Zero. He is sincerely, podcast land, whoever the fuck you people are listening, I adore Johnny Zero from the band Nation Zero. One of my best friends on the planet Earth without a fucking doubt. Like, for real, for real. But, oh, does he make me fucking crazy sometimes. Speaking of which, go ahead, Ivor, what do you got to say?
Oh, well, I got to say, I've witnessed firsthand and have gotten backlash from when you and Johnny aren't getting along. So I know how it makes you crazy.
It's vice versa,
because
though.
You like him so much.
I love him. You know what I'm doing right now, don't you?
Mm. Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yes.
This is awesome.
Is it?
Yes. Unsuspecting Zero, man.
No, I'm going to tell him. Now he's going to fucking answer, of course.
Yeah.
You guys got to hear the best voice message in American history. You ever heard the Johnny Zero voice message?
It's great.
It's the greatest thing. Here we go.
Awesome.
Obviously, he's not answering. He's like, fuck Vex. Or he's asleep. This is his voicemail. But there's a punchline. Like, it goes on, right? We're like 35 seconds in. Here it goes. Second verse.
He's a hero.
But you think it's over, and you're like, oh, I'll finally, I can leave a message. Nope. And you're like, you start rocking your car, like, I like this song. This is kind of cool. And then you're like, I'm going to leave a message. It'll be all right. Yeah, I'm going to get free, Johnny Zero.
The mailbox cannot accept any messages.
And it's full.
And that is the Johnny Zero punchline. Like, you go to call this motherfucker and you want to leave him a voicemail, like, hey, Johnny, it's Vex, boozy, boozy, bop. And then, the mailbox ain't full. And you're like, motherfucker, I just wanted to talk to you, Johnny. Anyway, that's all I got. Thoughts?
I was thinking about doing the same return that you just did right there.
What do you mean?
Just return call him and see if he picks up on my line.
No, he answers. He's just not. His phone, it's always perpetually in a state of, my phone is dying. Perpetually in a state of, my phone
is
dying.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
No, I don't know. It's, if you use it constantly, it makes fucking sense to me. I don't know. Why is it weird?
Well,
yes.
That's what they make a charger for. And he's not leaving his house.
No. But then he has to go charge it.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? No, I mean. All right, what do you got? Hold on, we went for a mini pause for a second because I sent a text message. You were saying about my facial expressions, what exactly?
Yes, there's like a different facial expression for whatever situation it is, whatever extravaganza is going on, and Vex has a face for it.
Okay.
For photographic purposes. And like, I just, it amazes me, like the different, like I only have a couple, like mine is like, you know, I give the devil horns and like, ah, you know.
That's one.
We're rocking, right? You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I'm listening, but come on.
So, I'm not. There's not really a big point to it. I just don't have that many different faces, and you just got this natural animation that you think it's a good idea to put this face on for this photo, or I'm at a show, so we got this face.
No, but you said off mic, I'm not gonna like it. A. So say what you were really gonna say.
That was it.
So why wouldn't I like it?
No,
you're holding back.
No, I'm not holding back. Because you could always erase it. So it wasn't that.
No, just then say it. What the fuck?
I
felt like the conversation was, this one makes you look feminine, is what I thought you were going to say.
No, I could.
No, but
they don't. I just wonder what's going through your head. I mean, one of them I know, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. One reason I know why you do certain things.
I'll say everything.
Is because like it brings your face a certain way.
All right, you're not even saying things correctly. I make certain poses that I have rehearsed so my face doesn't appear wrinkled in photographs.
I was going to say that.
Like when I open my mouth like a gate, I don't my wrinkles go under my eyes.
So this is why.
Yeah, that's not a mistake. That's like practiced. Now angles are different and lighting. Dude, are you kidding? Like, all right, granted, I'm not famous in any capacity, but I am in the public eye to a certain degree. I do have an IMDb page, sir. I have an Instagram page. I have a Vex on Vex podcast. I used to be on the TV Dad's Wrestling podcast. I've been in a few fucking awful horror films.
He's actually doing the Axl Rose sway while he's going through this. Wow.
I do the Axl Rose sway at practice very often. And last night on stage, I had thought about doing this way. It's only conducive to certain shoes, though. And the shoes that I wear when Starscream performs, not conducive for the sway.
Now, you did it, but in your own style last night.
No.
And I liked it.
The lean back and the fucking sweeping arm thing, that is an axle move.
You do like a little thing from side to side.
Oh, that.
And I like it. Yes.
That's like robotic. That's not Axl Rose.
Yeah.
You know who I stole that from? Think about it. You know who I stole it from?
Rob Halford.
Marilyn Manson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I steal from everybody. Like, Ozzy Osbourne, who's one of my greatest influences ever, said, "Anybody, the great ones steal. We're all thieves." And when he said that, a light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, well, Ozzy's been painting his eyes up for 30 years. There's a reason, because of the giant fucking bags under his eyes, which is why I do it. And the second reason I paint my eyes up when I get on stage is I'm bald. I used to sweat profusely. We all do on stage. The water on the top of my head catches the light and it washes everything out and you don't see my face. So now I painted my eyes so my fucking eyes jump out when I'm on stage. Then my first wife dies. So I began crying blood on stage and thinking of her. You know what? Fuck it. Let's go full tilt boogie.
I love this.
No, let's go full tilt boogie.
How about we do something about me? Just one little thing about me. Can we do that?
Man, I was just about to reveal a very dark secret.
Go
ahead. No, Brett, it's about you. What do you want to say?
No, because now it's not important.
I want to know what you were going to say. And I refuse to go further until you say,
oh my
about
God,
me.
That sucks so bad. You're so bad.
You shouldn't have done that.
All right. Well, here we go. All right. Well, I got the same kind of things. And it reverts back to the great one, Steel. So, and I do appreciate, like, when you're coming to, like, part of the anthem of the song or, like, the high part of the song where you're emphasizing it, you do the Rob Halford. You do the Rob Halford, and you don't even know it.
You know why?
Just grabbing the sky and pulling it down.
Oh, no. You know who
and
did,
Dio does that, too.
But you know who did it first?
Who?
Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
No, so, and that's yes. And that's where I got it from. So there's no, like, I don't dislike Halford, and I don't dislike...
Oh, he's awesome.
Let me finish. Please, I would like to speak. I don't dislike Halford. I don't dislike Dio. I am not influenced by either.
Mm.
I'm influenced by Freddie Mercury, who's done this shit for... 73 Queen comes out, so that's him. And in the 60s he's doing that, and 71 and 70 before they're famous. So there's no Halford in me. There's none, and there's no Dio in me. I was a kid, I think I said this before on the podcast, and I might even said it to you. The first time I purchased a Black Sabbath record was because I was trying to get the Road Warriors theme song for wrestling. I wanted my wrestling dolls to come to the ring in my fake wrestling world to Iron Man, right? I am Iron Man. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm going for, right? Go to the store. Black Sabbath is not popular. I don't know, 85, 86. They're not. They just fell off at this point. Ozzy's popular, but Sabbath is dead. Dio had left Sabbath. They're dead. There's no Sabbath when I do this. Maybe, yeah, I think it's 85, 86. So I go to the wall-to-wall sound and video, which in the 90s becomes The Wall. Remember that shit? But it was a wall-to-wall sound and video, and they would sell, like, record players and things like that. And you want a big set of speakers? You know, that's the kind of place it was. So I go in, and there's teenagers behind the counter, and I have, like, a bunch of nickels and a couple of crunched-up dollars, and I want to find this song. I'm a little kid. I'm only buying it for wrestling purposes. I'm not buying it because I care about Black Sabbath. But that kid Larry, we talked about in the last podcast, his uncle was a stoner, and his uncle's like, yeah, man, that's fucking Sabbath, man. Yeah, Iron Man. So I'm like, oh, it's Black Sabbath. I'm going to go find it. Because you couldn't Google anything in 1985. It didn't fucking exist. Go to wall-to-wall on my bike, and I find Black Sabbath Paranoid, which has Iron Man on it.
Yes, it does.
But it's a double cassette, so it's like $15, which is astronomical money when you're 9. And the flip side was Heaven and Hell. And in a silent protest to say, fuck Dio, I never would listen to side 2. And I fell in love with Paranoid. I fell in love with fucking Black Sabbath 1 eventually. I don't know if Fairy Wear Boots is on the first one or the second one, because Paranoid's the second record. I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head. But I think Fairy Boots has to be on Paranoid because I fell in love with it. And I love these songs. And then it would run the tape and run out, and they're like, flip it for Heaven and Hell. I'm like, no! Ozzy sings in Sabbath. Fuck Dio! Because if you remember, Ozzy was touring with a midget, and he was torturing him on stage. Do you remember that shit?
Yes, like, I do.
So I would never listen to Dio. So there's no sonic influence in my life that ever came from Dio.
Well, I'll have to tell you, I never put them together until I was 40 years old when I put them together. Dio and Sabbath together. I never listened to Dio.
Because Dio was solo.
With Sabbath, I always listened to
Because he had Vivian Campbell on guitar, right?
So the first, I never had a Sabbath record yet. My cousins gave me Dio records. Last in Line, Holy Diver.
So I introduced that
first, and Ozzy's solo career, and then introduced the Sabbath. Mm-mm. Yeah, weird, huh?
My entire life, I don't know what this is about. This is something psychological to me. If I like anything, I go to the root of it. I knew I appreciated Ozzy Osbourne as a solo artist. I did. I knew I loved it. Close My Eyes Forever, I think was like 89, maybe 88, with Lita Ford. But if I'm going to understand Ozzy Osbourne, I want to know everything about him. And it starts in 1970 with Black Sabbath 1, Black Sabbath, Black Sabbath. And I'm like, yeah. And I got that record and I just hammered it. And like when I became a Doors fan later in life as a teenager, I bought the first Doors record. And then I bought the second Doors record. And then I bought Waiting for the Sun, which is so it's the Doors, Strange Days, Waiting for the Sun. Those are the first three records. You know what I mean? And then you got The Soft Parade, which is the fourth record. Mars Hotel is the fifth record. Other Woman's the sixth record. I'm going to tell a story now. This is true. I'm the person that buys every record in order because I want to learn the catalog in order. I skipped Morrison Hotel and I couldn't wait for LA Woman. And I bought it like 2 weeks early. And then went back. And I do love Morrison Hotel. Peace Frog's on there. Peace Frog's a great fucking song. A lot of good stuff on there. But LA Woman is like my... I was like... They were playing it a lot on the radio and I really wanted the cassette. So I remember like buying it out of order. But I bought all my Sabbath records in order. Like, that's just what I did. And then someone turned me onto the Black Sabbath Greatest Hits record, which had changes on it and all this other stuff. Like, I'm a Sabbath fan, man. And, like, I don't know. My point, I apologize, is that if I'm going to be an Ozzy fan, I want to understand Ozzy's entire career and where he came from before he becomes Ozzy. Because Blizzard of Oz doesn't make any sense to me unless I understand the fucking records leading up to it. You know what I mean? Like, you're coming off of Never Say Die, which is an atrocious album. It's the worst Sabbath record. Don't ever say die. Right, I like that song.
I like the live version.
No, I love the song. The record's flat. And then Technical Ecstasy's before that, where Bill Ward's singing. It's All Right. It's All Right, and Bill Ward, right? And then fucking, I don't know if you know this, Guns N' Roses cover It's All Right on the live record. Did you know that?
Nah,
yeah, because Axl Rose would play piano and he'd sing that fucking song, Blue in the Sabbath cover. So Technical Ecstasy can suck my dick. I'm not a fan of fucking Never Say Die, but the first four or five Sabbath records, like, all right, the year I came out, Sabotage comes out in 75. That might be the sonic pinnacle for me because it's like a lot of echo and really high vocals. Like, Sabotage is a great Sabbath record. And you're looking at me like blank as fuck. I'm like, I'm sorry. I just went off with a Sabbath tan.
No.
We're talking about Johnny Zero. We're talking about Sabbath.
I just took on the role of Robin Givens.
No, did you take on the role of Robin Givens? Is that what you did?
Yes.
Do you feel better, Robin? Do you?
No, I didn't laugh yet. No, I'm joking. Click.
Click.
So I wanted to ask you a question because I, for some reason, on YouTube, I can't find. Name the Sabbath albums in order. Because I think that you cannot listen to one on YouTube, on the YouTube music.
Well, just buy the records, pussy. Like, what the fuck? We'll do it right now. I'm punching it in Black Sabbath discography. But it's the thing of it is, like, I know for a fact Black Sabbath... All right, check this out. I didn't punch it in yet. I'm still doing it.
Okay.
Black Sabbath comes out on February the 13th, Friday the 13th of 1970. And that's Black Sabbath. Paranoid comes out a few months later. And then by mistake... Paranoid has a fucking, what's that word? A hit single? The song Paranoid. Like, the record was called War Pigs off the song War Pigs, but it was so good. Like, they were like, we like love the song. Can you just name your record the song, please? And they were like, sure. Okay, here you go. You ready?
Well,
Black Sabbath, 1970, just like I said. Paranoid, also in 1970. Okay. Masters of Reality, the third record, 1971.
I love that one.
This is the one a lot of people love. I love too. Volume 4, 1972.
Wheels of Confusion.
Oh, Super Nut.
And isn't the one Hand of Doom? Is that on there? Or was that?
I don't believe it's on Volume 4, but don't quote me. Mm-hmm. And then 1975, which for me is the sonic, like the pinnacle, is Sabotage. Oh, I fucked up. Look at this. I'm an asshole. So, listen, we did it wrong. We're going to do it again, okay?
Okay, again.
Black Sabbath, the first one, 1970. Paranoid, 1970, okay? Then comes Masters of Reality in 71. 72 is Volume 4. You with me?
Yes.
73 is Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. And then Sabotage is 75. So, there's no record in 74. That's interesting. So, yeah, two records in 70. One in 71, one in 72, one in 73, nothing in 74, and then Sabotage comes out in 75. And I love Sabotage. And they were doing, by the time, like, a lot of people think that the Sonic Pinnacle is the fifth record, which is Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. But for me, the sixth record, which is Sabotage, is the Sonic Pinnacle. And then after that, it all kind of goes downhill. Because you get Technical Ecstasy, is that right? Yeah, and then you get Never Say Die. And then 1980, yeah, 76 is Technical Ecstasy. I do not like that record at all. I just don't like it. And then you have, after that, Never Say Die, which is like 77. Let me see. Look, hold on. I got to find Never Say Die. Because the reason that's important is that's the first fucking Van Halen tour. Did you know that? Hello? I'm saying words. Yes. You're not even saying anything.
You did know they played. They played together, yes.
It was on that tour, though. And then Ozzy leaves the band. And then 1980 is Heaven and Hell.
Amazing album.
So, yeah, I Googled it in 3 seconds. It's not hard to find the fucking order. So why don't you have any Sabbath records? What's wrong with you?
No, I had those Sabbaths. I wanted to make sure of the order because I kept thinking that there was a third album or there was a volume 3 instead before 4. And I
Masters of Reality is the third. No, Master of Reality is the third one. That's the third one. And then volume.
That was my first Sabbath.
Master?
Yes.
It's a great record, actually. It really is.
Then Paranoid. And then I wound up getting the first album.
The first one's so good. Now, check this out. As a guitar player, you'll appreciate this story. If you know this, cut me off. The second side of the first album is the instrumental thing, Warning, where Tony Iommi just goes off jamming on guitar like it's a big fucking part of the record. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
When they recorded it, they did the whole record in like 8 hours. They recorded it twice. There's the first version and the second version. I think the first version's like perfect, and the second version has a bunch of fuck-ups in it. And what's the engineer do? He puts the second version on the record. And Tony never hears it. So it comes out like 2 months later, and it's the wrong one. He's just cringing. He's like, motherfucker. And I love Warning, but imagine it's not the fucking clean one in his mind forever. And he's like, but it's in history. Like, is that
it's
fucking...
It's like that bad note I played today.
It's not about you, is it? What shows it? Is it called Ivor and Friends or the Vex and Vex Pond? I'm just kidding. I'm just telling you. Like it's like that. Boom. Then Mob Rules comes out in 81, which is the second Dio. And then there's fucking, they make that live record, which is the Evil, Live Evil, I think it's called. And Dio leaves. And then in 83, they're Born Again, baby. And that sucked. And they suck for a while. Now, here's something fucked up. I was 9 years old when Live Aid happens in Philadelphia, right? Sabbath is like my number two all-time favorite band, right? Guns N' Roses is number one. Sabbath is number two. Queen's probably number three, you know. Maybe not, though. I don't know. But they reunite with Ozzy Osbourne in Philadelphia, and I'm so young, I don't even comprehend it. That's a fucking tragedy, man. That's a fucking tragedy. You should say words, because we're on a podcast.
I'm trying to, you know, listen to what you're saying.
No, but I'm telling you, like, it was like my favorite band of all time reunites in my city. That's the day I got caught lighting matches. I told that story in here before, too.
If I can equivalate that.
That's not a word. Oh, Never Say Die is 1978, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, in case you're wondering. So 75 is Sabotage, Technical Ecstasy, and then the last one in 70 is Never Say Die. They tore that record the first fucking time. So it's 5, 6, 7. No, it's 5, 6. They take 77 off. You know, Ozzy quits before Never Say Die. Did you know that?
Before they release it.
No, before they recorded it. He quit. That's why there's no record in 77. So there's 75 or Sabotage, 76, Technical Ecstasy, nothing in 77. He quits. They get another singer for like a minute. I never remember his name, but he's the guy. And then they kick him right back out, and Ozzy comes back, and they cut the record. You look very confused.
No, I'm not confused.
So go ahead. Confused.
So I remember when they reunited too. So if we're spinning back,
well, what, the one in the 90s, the one in the 80s?
Response out of me, and
the one in the 90s or the one in the 80s?
The one in the 90s.
Well, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Like, did you hear me? Live Aid happened in 1985.
Oh,
in Philadelphia.
I didn't even know about that.
You didn't know about Live Aid?
No, I didn't know that they got back together for that.
You should see the photos. It's glorious. But this is the height of Ozzy solo. Randy just dies. Ozzy's on top of the fucking world. Sabbath was a dick because Dio left. They were dick. And they come back together and they play fucking Philadelphia at like 11 a.m. Mm. They said there was a lot of cocaine in the fucking dressing room for the Sabbath show. And Ozzy's like, my ego is out of control, man. But then Geezer's like, it was nice, you know, we saw Oz, and we was talking, it was raw, and he went home, and it was the end of it, you know what I mean? But the cool part is, again, Black Sabbath in Philadelphia, in our city, and I'm a little kid, I mean, I wasn't into rock and roll yet, they fucking reunited. Now, again, like, they didn't reunite again until the 90s for the real touring, and, like, they got back together. There was a thing, I don't know if you know about this, this is a Black Sabbath thing. So finally, in 1990, 10 years after the fact, they get Dio back in the band. Did you remember that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so Dio's back in Black Sabbath. They make a new record called Dehumanizer.
Yes, yes, I do know about
what
that.
What the fuck's the record called?
Dehumanizer?
Thank you. I could not say it. Dehumanizer is a new album. I went to see that tour at the Tower Theater, and I'm not a Dio guy. It was really good. So we go. They're on tour, and that same year, Ozzy Osbourne announces, I'm done fucking touring. I'm fucking Ozzy. I'm going to retire, mate. He's like, I want to bring Black Sabbath out. And I'm going to close my life with Sabbath and with my band. I swear to God. Swear
never
to God.
Happens.
So, no, they. He, so Sabbath goes to Dio. They're like, hey, I know that you're our singer. We're going to go and we're going to see Oz off because Oz is our friend. And, you know, he's offering us hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we do like money. And Dio's like, wait, you begged for 5 years for me to come back to Black Sabbath.
Yes, we did.
I'm back in Black Sabbath.
Yes, yes, you are.
And you're leaving me to go fucking play with Ozzy?
Yes, yes, we are. For hundreds of pounds, though. Hundreds of thousands of pounds. I mean, it's a lot of money. I could buy a new house, you know what I mean?
And Dio goes, fuck that. I'm in your fucking band. I'm your fucking singer. So if you're going to fucking hang out with Ozzy, I'm going to fuck you, I quit. And they're like, no, I don't want you to quit, right? But I really do want the money. Like, can you... And fucking, he leaves again. Which just fucks them. It fucks them completely. Because now Dio's not the singer. And Ozzy doesn't retire. And then they're just stuck going, all right, Ozzy, you want to tour later in the 90s and make more money? And he's like, I guess. Thoughts?
So it was a publicity stunt for Ozzy to make more money, and then it screwed Black Sabbath in the long run. So maybe it was a premeditated action on Ozzy's part.
Not Ozzy, but it would be Sharon. And I got to be honest, it wasn't publicity, because if Ozzy really thought he was leaving in 91, which I think he did.
Poor Ronnie.
I mean, poor Ronnie, because then he gets heaven and hell later. So check this out. Contractually, when they officially reunited in the 90s, they have to sign a contract that says, okay, the Black Sabbath name can only be if Ozzy's the front man. So they can never tour again as Black Sabbath with Dio. You understand? So in the midst of all this, in like, what is it, 2010, when they're back together, or 2008, whatever it was, they get back with Dio and they call themselves Heaven and Hell. Do you remember that?
No, you obviously know more about that whole drama.
I'm a big Sabbath fan. So they tour as Heaven and Hell with Dio and then go and tour as Black Sabbath with Ozzy. So like Tony Iommi's just cleaning up with Geezer and they're changing drummers back and forth because there's like a drummer who's in the Heaven and Hell lineup.
You know, I wanted to tell you not only just about that, right?
Yes.
But as you're saying some of this stuff, like I don't even know about Sabbath and I'm like kind of feeling dumb. Duh. And this kind of like explained my missing gaps in our conversation as we heard it earlier in this podcast. This nicotine pouch thing I did to help cure my leaving and smoking, right? It got me so buzzed out. I'm sitting here and I'm seeing three of your belts and then they become six. And I'm like, and that's when you were explaining the 1985 Live Aid.
So you know that I want to take those away from you now, right?
They're like retardedly strong.
Oh, how about you pass them over here, guy who has a drug problem? Like,
oh
what
my
the
God,
fuck?
on the air yet? How dare you?
Act like it's not. You didn't come to the show.
All right, let's move out of that really quickly.
I didn't bring it up.
Wow.
Hey, I'm honest on the Vex and Vex podcast.
Well, Johnny Zero, too.
Johnny Zero didn't like that shit.
I am too.
Are you?
And you got mad at me earlier because I was joking with you because, you know, out of my drooling, you know, psychotic state that this nicotine pouch got me in, I was like remembering this horror story you explained to me about Ozzy Osbourne and picking on Randy Rhoads. And I was like, I'm like the Randy Rhoads with Vex. Only he can't throw the beers at me and pick on me.
Well,
and I thought that was really funny.
I want to make you feel better. Please. You're not my Randy Rhodes. You're my Jake E. Lee.
That's awesome.
So at the end, I keep your publishing and you're fired. So don't even worry. You're fine.
Oh, cool. Do I get to go on tour and play my guitar? That's all that matters.
That's what Jake said. He's like, so you're going to keep my publishing? And they're like, yes. He's like, I get paid something. Like, yeah, you get like $11. Like, I get to go on tour, right? And they're like, yes. There was a time.
That's why I responded that way.
When Jake was, at a time, Jake was in Rat. You know that, right? He's before Warren DeMartini or whatever his name is. Did you know that?
No, I knew something about them with Rat, but not the
So Jake was in Rat. He gets the right before the Ozzy gig. Now, to hear him tell this story, and I don't know if this is fucking real or not, or this is bullshit, or ego, or whatever the fuck it is. He says that Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee approached him to replace Mick Mars and Motley Crue because Mick Mars wasn't, air quotes, cool. You're just smiling at me. You got any retort to that?
Yeah. Well, Mick Mars looked like Frankenstein back then, so.
No, now he does. But back then, he looked all right, but he was 10 years older than that.
Still looked like Frankenstein, I thought.
Well, Frankenstein's tall. Mick's kind of a midget, so I don't agree with your synopsis.
No, he just, because of his back condition, he's got that stiff.
Not look. Back then, though. You're missing the point,
I've
bro.
I've seen the Shout at the Devil concerts.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
You were there in 83?
Yeah. Even though he was more mobile, right. He still looked like Frankenstein.
You're 2 years younger than me. I know how old I was in 83. So you're going to tell me.
I've seen him on YouTube.
On YouTube?
Right? Yes. And that concert's very good on YouTube, actually.
You mean the US Festival performance?
Yes.
I've seen that, too. He's quite mobile. I disagree with your synopsis.
No, he was very mobile, but just the way they do him up with the makeup, and he's got the black, and he looks like a raccoon. He looks like Rocky Raccoon.
Is it Rocky
meets
Raccoon?
Meets Frankenstein.
Wow, I just disagree tremendously. I don't agree.
I love him as a guitar player, especially later in his career, but, you know.
So, all right, you know how Jakey plays, right?
Yes.
Now, remember, Nikki Sixx writes the songs, really. He does. I mean, Mick makes them better, but, you know, Nikki writes them. Mm-hmm. If they would have changed over to Warren, what do you think would happen to their career?
I don't know. I think that's probably why he wasn't in Motley Crue, because they would clash.
Who would clash? What are you talking about?
I think Warren and Nikki Sixx would clash. Writing.
Jakey Lee we're talking about. You just said Warren.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Am I lost here? Are you making me lost here?
I'm not making you lost. I'm a linear human being. I'll re-explain the situation for you. Warren was in Rat. Before he's in Rat, what are you mad? You're going to make a face at me, motherfucker? We'll fight?
Mm-mm.
Before Warren DeMartini's in Rat, he's the guy in the Rat is Jakey Lee.
Yes.
Warren DeMartini gets the gig in Rat. Now Jakey Lee's just kind of hanging out. He claims Motley Crue offered him the Motley Crue gig after they had a record deal with
Jakey
Electra.
Jakey Lee. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, because I got confused and thought you were talking about Warren. I'm like, what?
Well, he was in Rat. So Jakey Lee, who then later gets the Ozzy gig and gets robbed from all of his publishing from Sharon. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, do you think Jakey Lee would have been a better fit for Motley Crue, or was it okay sonically with Mick Mars?
No, Mick Mars was meant to be there.
And I wonder if that's a bullshit story, because I know today Nikki Sixx would never say he was going to replace, you know, Bob Deal, which is Mick Mars' real name, on the lead guitar.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And then would they even be able to write together? Because Jakey Lee would probably want to write all the guitar parts straight out. Where
what?
You know what I mean? Like I could see where, like, Nikki would come up with when he's the majority. He's the writer.
No, he's the writer.
Yeah.
Not
so
the majority.
He's the root notes he's playing on the bass is pretty much the guideline for the guitar.
But he writes the guitar parts.
I don't think that Jakey Lee would dig that. Jakey Lee would want to play his riffs.
Well, I don't know, though. They had a record deal. Like, it's like a thing.
Mm.
I don't know. You might be correct. I have no fucking idea. But that's
or it just would be very unsatisfying for Jakey Lee.
But, I mean, the Ozzy thing. Like, so then just Badlands after the Ozzy debacle. And Badlands doesn't really make a big fucking impact. Do you remember that band really being a thing?
No, I haven't even listened to them.
Okay. So there you go. So taking it back around to the beginning of the podcast, what are your thoughts, Mr. Ivor, on the TV Dads Wrestling Federation? I am of the opinion we are out of production for infinity because it's impossible to deal with the fantastic co-host, or actually the partner, Mr. Johnny Zero, America's hero.
Mm.
Or is it Nation's hero? Yeah, Johnny Zero, the nation's hero. No, what's he say?
I don't know.
But neither do I.
I just tell him Johnny Zero, the guitar hero.
Oh. So what? You like the show, right?
Yes.
Did you listen to all the episodes?
Yes.
There's an episode, I don't know if you did listen to it, episode 50, we go behind the TV dads, and we break kayfabe, or kayfabe it's called, and we just talk about it. And it didn't get dark. It was like ha, 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 ha. But then we tried to record the episode, and it got dark. We were fighting. He threw me out of his house. It's not a good rate. I deleted it. Go ahead.
So, if we're to look at this properly, right?
Yes.
Probably too much emotions invested in this to repair it right now.
There's a lot of freedom in doing the Vex on Vex podcast. There's no linear rules.
Yeah.
Anyone can be here. You put up a microphone. You have a conversation. It's fun. Sometimes it's not fun, but it is what it is. To do a program with matches and storylines, and he's like, that's my character. You can't do that. But I do the same thing. I'm like, well, you can't do that to my character. I want you to marry it. That's my character.
I could just imagine. I can only imagine just because, guys got strong passions about what you want for it. You probably, have to shut it down every 10 seconds and you got to rearrange it.
Or well, the hard part is
bicker.
See, I'm correct, though, and he doesn't know that.
I'm sure that you have a great direction for it.
It's not that my direction's better than his. I mean, it is, just so we're clear. I have great direction. But he also has great direction. And the problem is that Johnny Zero believes he's 100% correct, and I know I'm 100% correct. So it's just like cataclysmics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know what you're saying. And I can see it. So
what do you like about the program specifically?
My God, the imaginations you guys got.
Okay.
I mean, that's just amazing that, I'm listening, and I can see it. The whole, the match.
That's cool that it
and
conjures that.
And then the
that.
Characters, and then the far left humor of it. What do you got, 101 bozos? Or?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Dana, you're sitting here, even though you're not part of the microphone today. Listen to this shit. So in the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast, all right, you know how when you have a wrestling match, there's people who are, they call them jobbers. Do you know what that, like, they come to the ring, you have no idea who they are, and they get beat up by the fucking real wrestler, right? So we needed jobbers, and everybody's a TV dad, so they're a star, And I'm like, I don't think it was my idea. I think he was like, dude, we should get clowns, dude. And I'm like, well, how many clowns are there? So we started going down a list. We got Bozo the Clown, and then we could use Krusty the Clown. He's animated technically, wink, wink, but he's a clown, And then I'm like, wait, I got it. Oh, Bozo 1 through 100. And then we'll have 100 jobbers. He's like, yeah. And then we had Ronald McDonald's in the mix. He's part of the whole thing. That forms the Clown Union, which Johnny Zero affectionately calls the Clunion. And then hijinks ensue. No, it's fucking,
I know.
It gets deep, man. But it's fucking, to me, it's funny. Like you have, so Bozo number 6 in the, oh God, they're killing Bozo. And you can kill them because there's 100 of them. And then the Clown Union's like, listen, you're killing clowns for television profits. You have to pay them accordingly. And then Ronald McDonald's, the spokesman, is like, ha ha, this is Ronald McDonald. This is wrong what you're doing to the clowns. They have rights and they deserve to be treated properly. Ha ha, I'm just saying. And I took the voice from when they, how they have Mickey Mouse on fucking South Park. Ha ha, like that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just worked it in there.
It's great. And I don't think that he, does he have other voices than just his own?
Tons. He, whenever Charles Ingalls is on microphone, it's him. And then he has a ton of voices. He was the first one to start doing voices. If you listen, it's him.
Wow.
And then I was like, I can do a voice. And then I don't know. I was just trying it. Like, I don't think of myself as a voice person. But when I was a little kid, like, remember we used to watch cartoons and shit? I remember thinking, I could do sound effects for a living. I'm 5, right? So, like, all right, I don't know if this is going to work. This isn't a microphone. Bear with me. Remember when G.I. Joe would shoot their guns? Remember that fucking noise? Mm-hmm. I just spit all over the microphone. So I could do the laser gun noise. I was like, I can do that for G.I. Joe. Like, oh, that's my tongue. Ow, by the way. So anyway, that kind of shit. Like, and then I would just start, like, I can do noises, I thought. And then, I don't know, computers happen, so noises are dead. Like, it's not really a job anymore. But I remember being a little kid, my dad was like, yeah, there was one guy who did all the Warner Brothers cartoons. He's really good. And then he taught his son, and now his son does. And I'm like, I want to get in on that business. I can watch cartoons all day and make voices, you know? I thought I could. And then I went up going, hi, welcome to Yellow Book USA. Like, that became my life for a little while. I still want voiceover work. And I know somebody in the industry. Doesn't hook me up. Just saying. Not hooking me up. So you like this program is what you're telling me.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you got the songs.
When you you mean like the fucking
songs,
theme music?
I mean, you got Sanford and them coming out.
Do you know who wrote that fucking theme song?
Who?
Quincy Jones smoked some opium and sat down and in 20 minutes wrote that song while smoking opium. And then in that story, Artie Lang, who heard that story and then Reed said, he's like, you can get opium. And he's like, that's not the point, Artie. I wrote the song. Yes.
And who's that guy? Because that guy's a character in the TV.
No, that's not. That's a different voice. So you want Buffalo Butt?
That's what his name is?
All right. Did you ever watch... what's it called?
Like, I thought it was a totally different person. I didn't realize he was doing this voice. And then I'm like, it's him.
All right. You're talking to me. So yes, it is me.
Yeah. So I can put you in third person.
Motherfucker. No. All right. Good Times. Good Times. Right? So the dad from Good Times, James. Oh, what the fuck's his last name? You guys remember the last name? I have no idea. Evans. James Evans was the working man, James Evans. And then Dynamite, J.J. Evans, was the Duke of Chicago. And then his little brother, Michael, was the militant. Because on the show, he was like, Black Power. That was his thing, right? So this goes on for a while in episodes. And then we change it up and we're like, hey, I got an idea. Let's fucking bring in Buffalo Butt. And you don't know who Buffalo Butt is or remember. But Buffalo Butt is in like a later fucking version of it. Like after James dies, he's like the building super. And he was the fat black guy. But it spoke like this. Like, he didn't sound fucked up. And I was like, oh, let's make it really racist. So I am Buffalo Butt, and he has his own production. Oh, yeah, I'm just here, the Buffalo Butt here. Oh, yeah, on the TV net, on William Hawkins here. Oh, yeah. And that's the most racially sensitive.
It's so funny.
No, but it's awful.
No, but you do it so good.
Yeah, and then it got good to me, so then I fucking kind of started fucking around with it a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, there's a myriad of voices. But like the clown was me, I was Buffalo Butt, but Ronald McDonald. Like we used to have like the phone ring and Johnny Zero would answer. He's like, hello. I'm like, oh, this is Ronald McDonald. I'm in prison currently on charges of domestic disturbance. No, what was he in? He was a, what's that word? A terrorist. He was an international terrorist because you're laughing. The Clunian had a fucking protest under the Eiffel Tower and things went sideways and clowns were jumping off the tower to their death and a baby got crushed and there was fire. You're laughing. That's fucked up. And Johnny's just like, all the humanity. I can't believe what's happening. And we have helicopters and sirens and shit. I'm like, John, I can't hear you. You're cutting out, John. He's like, oh, Vex, it's so bad. It's so bad here. And then Ronald McDonald got locked up because he was the ringleader and he's in an international prison in France and he calls us and they're like, hello, this is an international call from, and we're like, yes, we'll accept the charge. He's like, hi, this is Ronald McDonald. I want the people to know that I'm a political prisoner, ha ha, and this is not my fault.
Well.
Yes.
I had an epiphany about the whole thing.
Share it.
And I think just because it's so good, if these things can be forgotten and you just go to something new, something cool might happen.
I had a theory that we could have made the coronavirus a character that came in and like toppled over the arena and knocked off the world on its axis for a year. And we're back. Oh my God. What a year. Coronavirus came through like a machine. Like, you know, and you could just make it a fucking character and then maybe that would work. And then here, okay, this is where it gets, all right, I can't believe I'm talking about this. Like, this is real. The fake owner, air quotes, of the fucking, of the TV Dad's Wrestling. What was his name? Ross Perot, who ran for president.
Yes.
Was the fake owner. He died for real. In real life. And I'm like, John, we got to put it in the script. He's like, no, Ross doesn't die. And I'm like, but he really died. Ross Perot died. He's like, I can't have it. We can't acknowledge that. I'm like, no. It's funny. Ross Perot dies, and then the evil Jerry Springer takes over the Federation.
That's awesome.
It is awesome, and he won't do it.
Why won't he do it?
Because Ross can't die. Then he's like, we could say that he faked his own death. And I'm like, okay, maybe.
We could put Joe Biden in. No, I mean, do you
what's
think
my
that's...
only rule when I podcast? There's one rule. All right, there's two
as
rules.
As a
no
comic
dicks
spoof.
Near my face. And what's the second fucking rule?
Oh, but it's not about politics.
No, but he's Johnny Zero has a political fucking affiliation. I don't. And then he will try to push that. And he heard us already a few times.
Oh, that's why you looked at me that way.
No, okay. Political anything on my podcast. I'm not political. Oh, okay. It's just a bad way to be.
I wasn't thinking about it.
But
political.
This is entertainment. He's the president of the United States.
Yeah, but bypass that. He's a joke. He can be a joke sometimes, so.
Well, every every politician can be a joke,
yeah. But
it's not my place to discuss it. If you put on one of my podcasts, I want you to laugh, maybe cringe, maybe it hurts your dick. I don't know, but just something. I want some emotion, but I'm not going to make it. This is my political ideology, and this is what I think you should do.
Oh, yeah, shh. Yeah.
Everyone can do whatever the fuck they want, and mm-hmm. It's not my business. It really is. And that's why I like being an American, because we're actually in a free country. Like, when people go online, they're like, you can't say that. That's victim shaming. Unfortunately, you can victim shame because it's the United States of America. And I'm personally very anti-communist because I'm Lithuanian. Nobody wants to hear this, but you brought it up. So boozy, boozy, bop. Fuck communism. And not that capitalism is the greatest thing in the world, but I am a capitalist and I do like to make a dollar. And I'm gonna quote a movie that you're not going to get the reference to, but it's funny. I like lollipops in my mouth. I like butter in my ass, but I like to make a dollar. You know where that's from?
No, I do not.
Boogie Nights. And it's creepy as fuck when he says it. The little old man grips up Burt Reynolds. He's like, I gotta tell you, videotape's the future of pornography. And he's like, get out of my office. He's like, no, listen, I like lollipops in my mouth, butter in my ass, but I wanna make a dollar. And I was watching the movie and I'm like 20. I'm like, yeah, I wanna make a dollar. Yeah. So I'm not this whole communism thing. Communism is really cute on paper, which I said when I was 12. Like, you read a bunch of books and you're like, yeah, for the people. No, it's a bad fucking system, because what happens, all the money goes to the top, and whoever's at the fucking top has a Mercedes and you're fucking up nothing. And for real, and there's bread lines, for real. Like, they're like, oh, you want some bread? That's Thursday. You get bread on Thursday. But it's Tuesday, I'm gonna make a sandwich. Fuck off, you get bread on Thursday. That's communism. I can go to the store right now. If I got $2, I buy some bread. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not political. I'm really not. I'm not political at all. You went to a bar and introduced as a fucking person. I think it's a bad idea. What are your thoughts?
I just liked what Saturday Night Live did. And we could kind of...
But yeah. SNL has been, for 45 years, a political satire.
Mm.
Every person. Like, I remember being a little kid. I didn't understand politics. This is fucked up. I would get my understanding of politics in 1988 from Saturday Night Live. How fucked up is that?
I really wasn't trying to go there. I just wanted to, you know, you could make him a joke like Saturday Night Live did, and he's like the owner of the Federation. You know, that's all.
Well, we have one. His name's Ross Perot.
Yeah, so. But the beautiful. He was a political figure as well, and that's brought me Joe Biden's.
Well, no.
You know.
You said you listen to all the episodes, but I'm going to verse you in the TV dad's folklore of the universe, if you will. The entire concept begins because Rupert Murdoch, who's a billionaire who owns the Fox Broadcasting Network, is hammered with his friends, and he's like, I bet you I can make former child stars fight to the death on Fox. And we said it was Fox and our fucking fake thing because they used to have celebrity boxing for real. And I've watched it. I watched Willis from Different Strokes beat up Vanilla Ice on television. Did you see that match?
No.
It was glorious. I saw it. Screech, who just died of cancer, beat up the Mr. Kata, that guy. And that guy was kind of half a fag, right? And he beat up the half a fag guy. And you're like, whoa, you know? So there you go. Fox is fucked up. So I'm like, they'll do it. And then Rupert Murdoch is like, on Monday, he's sober and he puts the money through to start making these TV programs, right? And they're like, listen, he's like, we can't have them fight to the death, sir, because that's illegal on television. He's like, but I'm Rupert Murdoch. They're like, no, we have an idea. We're going to make them wrestle. And you only get paid if you win the match. He's like, I love it. So then it was a special on the Fox TV, and they came out and they wrestled, and it was just bloody carnage, right? And they were like, well, it's pretty good. Let's make a federation. And then Rupert Murdoch got bored, and he sold the whole thing to Ross Perot for like $70 or something. Like, you know what I mean? And then Ross Perot's like, yeah, we're going to have a wrestling match. Yeah. And I think Johnny Zero was the original fucking guy for Ross Perot's voice. Like, he was pretty good at it. Johnny's pretty good at voices, actually. But then he's like, we're crazy. We make each other crazy. It's so bad.
I know.
That's it? I know?
Yeah, I know.
The whole reason for this podcast is you're like, you should bring back the TV Dad Breaking Podcast. And
but
put it here.
I think that...
Yes?
It's such a good thing that if you guys can just forget about the other stuff and move forward on something new... And really, honestly, drop the past.
But you're talking
to the, hard to do for no, both no. people.
I can drop the past, but he won't, because he has all this shit that he wrote for like season two of it that he wants to go. And I'm like, listen, if coronavirus comes in and collapses the building and beats everybody up, the giant coronavirus monster, and then we can make it a joke like, we killed the coronavirus monster. And then it comes back again and it kicks in the ceiling. Oh my God, Corona's back. Like, that's funny to me. Like, that would work. And I entertained it. Like, I gave it to him and he just didn't fucking grasp it. So I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Maybe, all right, I'll be a middleman.
You got to talk to him.
I'll talk to him.
He's got to agree to A, drop it, because he has a theory. Oh my God, I can't even explain
but,
this.
But what ideas can you use of his?
No, I just, no. I have a way to bring it back, okay? He's holding on to all the ideas from the last time we did this shit.
I get it.
So in his mind, my character, by the way, Mike Brady, who's the greatest heel in American history, I love him so much, he's like... He's like, he's going to go on tour, right? It's called the Great American Stash Tour. And I'm like, I'm listening. He's like, he's going to go to high school campuses and, air quote, teach high school boys how to wrestle. So basically this overly flaming homosexual gets to fondle all these boys throughout the country, which, no. I'm not opposed to it conceptually, but he derailed the pay-per-view we agreed on because he's like, you got to save that for the American Stash Tour. And I'm like, no!
Is that what it's all about?
I swear to God.
Oh,
no, all right,
God.
I'm gonna do it. Oh, I can't believe I'm gonna say all this. Oh, we have like 4 minutes. I'll wrap it up. All right, listen. This is it. We're gonna sit down and we're doing a pay-per-view. There was a third microphone on hand. He wanted to do voices. This guy, he was a fan, no problem. The fan's here, I'm there, Johnny Zero's over there, right? We sit down and I'm like, Johnny, we're going to do A, B, C, and D. And he goes, uh-huh. And then I'm like, at the end of D is the main event. Your guy and my guy are going to fight. I don't care who wins. I don't want my guy to win. But the fans deserve it. It's the pay-per-view. And he goes, uh-huh. And he's half lit. He was drinking. I get it. We start. We're 10 minutes in. I'm like, coming up next, my guy versus his guy. Boozy, boozy, bop. Doesn't say anything. Fine. 10 more minutes. Just keep in mind, at the end of the pay-per-view, the main match, blah, 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 doesn't say anything, right? Now we're 30 minutes in. I do the third read. It's coming. The main event's coming, everybody. And he's just like fucking chilling. He's happy with the other guys working. We made him a character. It's fucking happening. Now it's 50 minutes. There's 10 minutes left. And I'm like, now the main event. And he's like, whoa, what are you talking about? We can't have them fight. This is episode fucking 59. It's 59 hours. And he's like, you can't give it away yet. We got to build it up. I'm like, dude, it's 59 hours that we built it up, A. B, I said 4 times in the past 50 minutes, this is going to happen. He's like, I'm not doing it. And he leaves the room.
Oh my God, I could just see how red you got.
I lost my fucking mind.
Of course
you did. It's not that, all right, I wasn't married to the idea, but I worked for 50 minutes of recording, saying it every 10 minutes, and then when it's time, he's like, I didn't agree to that. Moron, I said it 14 times, is how I felt. And he didn't care. And he was probably half lit. It was his house, he can drink if he wants to. But goddamn, man. Like, it killed me, and I can't even air it. It's not even a full episode. It stops at 50 minutes. I'm like, and next is the main event. And Johnny's just like, I'm leaving. And he stomps out, and he goes downstairs to power smoke in his basement. And I'm just like, I lost my mind. Mm. And then I was like, I can't work in these conditions. I just can't do it. I can't say something. And then what was I going to go back and edit every time I said it? Oh, coming up for the main event. Like, no. Either you're listening or you're not listening. Either you're a part of it or you're not a part of it. And that's my beef. So then in the Dark Side of the Ring episode that we never air because we erased it, I'm like, Johnny, you did this. I want you to explain it to me. And he's like, why are you doing this? Why are you being so aggressive towards me? I don't understand. And I was like, I know you don't understand. I'll say it again. And every time I said it, I got angrier.
And you got more aggressive.
So the third time I'm doing it, I'm banging on the fucking table. And he's like, you should get out of my house. And I was like, I think I will. And that's the end of the episode. And we only got to like 40 minutes. And Robot and Philadelphia are cringing. They're like crawling under the table. They're like texting each other going, can we just leave? We can just leave, right? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. And that's the Dark Side of the Ring episode that will never air. Which would have been the original episode 91 of the Vex and Vex podcast, but we just deleted it. Go ahead.
Well, in these times... My mom would probably tell me to take a more, going back to mothers, she would probably tell me to take a more spiritual aspect of it and pray about that.
I have to pray about Johnny Zero in a fucking fictional universe of a show that doesn't exist? God seems mildly more busy than that to me.
Oh, sure. But not for that part.
Sweet baby Jesus, in your little smiling clothes, please allow Johnny Zero to let me have the main event on our show. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 93 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Ivor?
Sir.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. Boozy, boozy, bop. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.